You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.
Joining us, our expert friends, optometrists Jayalakshmi Tilak and Kailas Alvary from Dalton Wrong Optometrists today. And today we're talking on a very, very important eye topic, an eye condition where it will protect your sight, protect your vision. And today we dive deeper into understanding glaucoma. So welcome to the program, to our optometrists. Good afternoon. Are you guys there?
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
Great, excellent. So let's get right into it, Ms. Alvary. Tell me, what is glaucoma and why is this thing called glaucoma? You know, in Trinidad, people say glaucoma. And often it's something that is called the same way I call high blood pressure, the silent killer. Why is glaucoma often called the silent thief of sight?
Hi, good afternoon. Well, basically, glaucoma is a group of eye conditions that damage the optic nerve or the nerve fibers that carry information from the eye to the brain. This damage is usually associated with increased intraocular pressure, often known as eye pressure, which usually results from an imbalance between the production of drainage of the fluid in the eye known as the aqueous humor. The increased pressure could lead to optic nerve damage, and if left untreated, then vision loss. Glaucoma often develops slowly and has no early warning signs, and that's very important to remember. Vision loss usually begins slowly in the side or the peripheral vision, and which many people don't often realize that it's actually happening, only when the disease is actually detected in its advanced stages. By the time symptoms appear, permanent damage may already have happened. That's why regular eye examinations are critical, and that's why glaucoma is often referred to as the silent thief of sight.
Yeah, that makes sense to me there. So what you're saying is that, you know, the pressure inside the eyeball itself is increasing, and the force is increasing, so it can damage the nerves and the things that supply the vision. Now, how common is glaucoma in the world, in the Caribbean, or here in Trinidad? Is it a common disease?
Yeah, so glaucoma actually affects tens of millions of people worldwide and is one of the leading causes of irreversible blindness, especially in the Caribbean. So that means when you have glaucoma, the vision that you've lost, there's no way of getting it back. There's just ways of like preserving what you have left, which we'll talk about a little bit later as well. And in the Caribbean and among people of African descent especially, the risk has been proven to be a lot higher. It develops a lot earlier, and as of late, eye care professionals have been realizing that the way that glaucoma presents in the Caribbean especially tends to be a lot more violent. So you have a very small window of treatment, which is why the regular eye screenings and eye exams are so important, so that we give patients and your eye care professionals enough time to, you know, try to start your treatment and preserve that vision that you have left.
Yeah, that's, you know, fascinating to me, Ms. Alvary, because, you know, you said, you mentioned like the aggressive nature of glaucoma, particularly, you know, Afro-Caribbean population. And it reminds me of the aggressive nature of the prostate disease in our men too, especially the Afro-Caribbean men. Now, you also spoke about how irreversible that's a big thing for me, that, you know, this is something as a family doctor is important, because if something is irreversible, you want to, you know, really get on top of it. Now, how is glaucoma different from cataracts and other eye conditions, like, you know, diabetic retinopathy, macular degeneration, then, you know, the list of it there. How is it different?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of our patients in the office, that's one of the first things that they tend to ask, you know, what is the difference between glaucoma and, let's say, cataract? Now, the important thing is to focus on what part of the eye is being affected with those different conditions, you know? So glaucoma, as Mr. Luck said, it affects the nerve behind the eye. So that's the posterior furthest part behind the eyes, right? And it's related to changes of the eye pressure. Whereas cataract is the clouding of the crystalline lens, which is closer to the front, almost to the middle of the eyes, right? A completely different structure there, which leads to blurry vision. Now, Both eye conditions can lead to blindness if they're not treated, but they are preventable once we pick them up early in your routine eye exams. So early detection and treatment for glaucoma is the most important thing to prevent that vision loss. With respect to, let's say, macular degeneration, that affects literally the macula, which is the central part of the eye, the most sensitive part of the eye. And again, like glaucoma, it can result in vision loss, but they have different underlying causes. Again, different parts of the eye being affected. And then you mentioned diabetic retinopathy. So this has to do with patients that suffer from diabetes, and it involves damage to the blood vessels of the back of the eye. Now, diabetes can be a risk factor for developing glaucoma, but again, the conditions affect different parts of the eye. So the main thing to note is that the conditions affect different structures within the eyes. Some of them are more towards the front, some of them more towards the back. Glaucoma affects the nerve. Cataracts affect the crystalline lens. Macular degeneration affects the central part of the eye. And diabetic retinopathy affects the blood vessels.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Alvary, for that very, you know, descriptive understanding of the difference between a lot of eye conditions there and how glaucoma is different. Now, to the average listener there, they may not have the anatomy and the all this about us, but what can be things that a person can look out for, and at what age can it typically show signs of developing? Is it something that a child should go and check for, or, you know, what are the common symptoms of glaucoma?
Well, basically, in early glaucoma, patients usually don't exhibit or experience any sort of symptoms of any kind. And that's why glaucoma, like we referred to before, as the silent thief of sight. That's a very common terminology that you'd always hear when optometrists or ophthalmologists are describing glaucoma. It's often the silent thief of sight. And because glaucoma tends to progress quite slowly, and patients can only start exhibiting or noticing symptoms until it's later stages of the disease. So, like, for example, when it becomes quite advanced. So, however, in some cases, patients may notice symptoms like, you know, loss of peripheral or side vision. So usually with glaucoma, it starts affecting your nerve fiber layers, more so in the periphery, until it starts to come down into something we known as tunnel vision and eventually complete vision loss. You can also exhibit blurred vision or even seeing halos around lights, eye pain or redness. But it's very important to know that there are actually two types of glaucoma. There's primary angle glaucoma, and that's often very common and it's very gradual. They don't exhibit any sort of symptoms until their peripheral vision is significantly affected. And that can manifest in very common in individuals like 40 and over. And the risk usually increases with age. And then there's angle closure glaucoma, which is the most severe of the two types. And that some of the symptoms that you could experience with that type would be like intense eye pain, headaches, nausea, vomiting, halos around light, blurred or hazy vision. So it's very, very important that if, you know, any of the listeners may exhibit or experience any of these signs or symptoms, please see your eye care professional immediately. And with angle closure glaucoma, it usually is very common in individuals over 60 and who may be quite farsighted. So it's important to look out for these symptoms because, you know, glaucoma is something. I've recently seen a patient yesterday, actually, and she would have come in back in 2023, and we did notice some signs, some vision loss, and I did refer her, but unfortunately, because sometimes the public health system tends to be a bit backed up as well, she didn't get the care that she needed, and now she has severe vision loss. So it's important to go see your optometrist to have routine examination, so that way that we can pick up exactly what's going on, and we can do the correct testing to know exactly how much the vision would have lost, or if you're at risk of developing this glaucoma.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly aligns with our practice as family physicians, where we do certainly recommend if you have symptoms, don't wait on it and to get it tested and check out our friends at Dalton Brown Optometrists, for instance, and get to an optometrist to get those tested. Now, what is something that I'm thinking about is that we've mentioned, you know, the difference and what is glaucoma, what are the symptoms? What is like the risk factors, like something that somebody could say, you know, is there a family history? Is there something that I should look out for in my personal history of developing glaucoma? Do we have the answer to that?
Yes, definitely. So family history is actually really, really important. And it actually increases the risk. A lot of the time when patients come in and we ask them, you know, do you have a family history of cataracts or glaucoma? Very often, like Ms. Avery would have mentioned, the differences between them, but patients do mix them up. And it's important that patients kind of get to know your family a little more and find out, you know, is it that my mom or my grandparents or someone who is quite close to me has this glaucoma? So yes, family history is a very important risk factor of developing glaucoma. Another important risk factor is your age. So the risk of glaucoma usually increases with the age. While it could occur at any age, it's more common in more of the older adults over 40. It's not that children can get glaucoma. There's something called congenital glaucoma. So it's important that, you know, when your children come to have their eyes tested as well, you let the optometrist know that if there's a family history of glaucoma, also race or ethnicity. So certain ethnic groups, particularly the African or Caribbean people, have a higher risk of developing glaucoma. And this is something Ms. Salvery would have mentioned earlier when she was talking about like how many people or how prevalent glaucoma is and in what type of population might have this glaucoma. However, it's not exactly limited to our African or Caribbean people. Anyone can have glaucoma. Patients with marked medical conditions. So, for example, if a patient might be diabetic or hypertensive, that also increases the risk. And a lot of patients don't often realize that this is actually a risk factor of developing glaucoma. In very severe cases of like eye injuries, that can also increase your risk of glaucoma. Also using long-term use of steroidal medications do play an important risk factor of developing glaucoma. So it's important, you know, to know that also, you know, you may have an absence of symptoms, but that doesn't mean to say that there's an absence of glaucoma, especially in its very early stages. And that's why regular eye examinations, measuring the intraocular pressure, or even the assessment of that optic nerve through routine eye examinations, through OCT scans, it's very critical in detecting early detection and management of glaucoma. So the OCT scan is something we do there at Dalton Brown. And we also have the visual field scan that can check the peripheral vision. And, you know, when patients come in, you can ask us about this particular scans if you have a risk of glaucoma. You don't necessarily only need a referral to have it done. And if we see, if we take a look at the optic nerve at the back of the eye, and we see that, you know, maybe the optic nerves are looking a bit suspicious, then we may warrant you to have this particular scan done.
Yeah, and you know, you provided a wealth of information there, and I'm so happy to know that, you know, persons can go to the optometrist there at Dalton Brown and be fully tested and get their eye screening to tests. You mentioned the intraocular pressure and things like the OCT machines are available there. Now, my question though is that if a person's eye pressure or eye pressures are normal, does that mean that they are safe and they don't have, or can glaucoma happen even if someone's eye pressures are normal?
So having normal eye pressures doesn't necessarily mean that you're safe, because there is such a thing as normal tension glaucoma, where the optic nerve is damaged even though the pressures appear normal. So that's why a glaucoma diagnosis doesn't only rely on eye pressure. Another case where you might be at risk for glaucoma is if the front of your eyes, so the corneas, are thinner than expected. So this means that even though your eye pressures may have read normal on the eye pressure machine when we do the routine eye test, after we do the adjustments based on a test called perchymetry, which uses the OCT machine that Mr. Luck had just mentioned, that's how we usually check the thickness of the front of your eye. And once you do that adjustment, sometimes your eye pressure can actually be much higher than what the machine had initially read. So that's just one example of why we encourage patients to do that OCT scan. And I'm sure we're going to talk about this a lot more throughout this session. But yeah, doing that scan at some point just to get a baseline reference is really important, because that's how we do the measurement of the front of the eyes, and we're able to pick up on those early signs of glaucoma as best as possible.
Yeah, thank you for that, Ms. Alvary. And you know, as we dive deeper into testing, you know, even me as a family doctor, when I go to the dentist or the optometrist, there's a lot of fears and a lot of unknown. And, you know, particularly you go to the optometrist and you're putting your face on this machine. And is it something that touches your eye? Is it something that is going to blow something into your eye? Can you walk us through, like, what are the tests available, like at Dalton Brown Optometrist, especially to detect and monitor glaucoma? Not just what are the tests, but what, describe it to us a little bit so we can have a better understanding on what to prepare for and what to expect if we go into the optical center to say, hey, I want to get my eyes checked.
So basically, well, one of the first tests in a comprehensive eye examination would be measuring the patient's eye pressure using a very non-invasive procedure known as tonometry. That is where we check or measure the intraocular pressure of the eye. Like I said, elevated pressure is usually a risk factor of glaucoma. The tonometer uses a very small, tiny little probe that touches the front surface of the eye. However, you don't really feel anything. We don't have the air puff test, but some of the other optometrists do have the air puff test, and that's one of the ways of measuring this intraocular pressure. The other way that we tend to examine the optic nerve injury would be through the ophthalmoscopy or VOC. None of these tests are touching your eyes in any way or violating your eyes. They're pretty much non-invasive. They just use a little instrument to take a look at the back of the eye using bright lights. You usually dilate the pupil of the eye. So patients who might be hypertensive or diabetic, have a family history of glaucoma, we do advise having these tests done when we look through the pupil. Now, if the pupils are quite small, usually in older folks, their pupils tend to be quite small. So sometimes it might be a little bit limited view at the back of the eye. So we do put dilating eye drops in. In the event of such a case, you know, if you do have a risk or such, you can bring someone in with you. So that way, if the optometrist asks you to be dilated that day, you can have someone who is safe to drive you back home. That's something that you can explore so that you don't necessarily need to come alone. You can come with somebody else with you. Another scan that we tend to do at Dalton Brown would be our visual fields test. So like I mentioned previously, that when this optic nerve do become damaged, it starts to damage more so in the periphery or using your side vision. You know, sometimes if someone walks next to us, we may not be able to have that peripheral vision to detect them. Or like, for example, if somebody has been diagnosed with glaucoma and is currently being treated for it, it's necessary for these patients to have the visual field test quite often, at least every 6 months to every year. Usually patients who are in the public health sector, they tend to come in at least every 6 months to every 12 months annually to have this visual field done. And this field test would be able to let us know how much of your peripheral vision is now limited. The other scan, which is very often mentioned when we are talking about the posterior, the back of the eye, the optic nerve, is that OCT scan. It's a pretty much non-invasive procedure. You know, patients do come in, they may have reservations, you know, are you going to hurt me? Is it going to hurt in any way? Well, basically, the OCT scan, it's very non-invasive. It doesn't touch your eyes in any way. It's just a little machine that takes photographs at the back of the eye, just like a CT scan or just like an X-ray machine that takes images of the back of your body in different parts. So too, the OCT scan takes pictures at the back of your eye. And what these pictures basically do, it goes beneath the 10 layers of the retina to be able to let us know if any of those nerve fiber layers in that optic nerve that connects the eye to the brain that sends messages, if any of those nerve fibers have become damaged. So it's important. That is actually one of the earliest ways of detecting any glaucoma. Sometimes, you know, you may go to the optometrist and we look at the back of the eye and everything may look okay. But if you have a family history and we do the OCT scans and we see any nerve damages that might be occurring, we might actually, you know, send you for a second opinion at the ophthalmologist. So we're the optometrists are unable to diagnose, but usually in terms of treatment and management, the ophthalmologist, we send you to the ophthalmologist and they would do the rest in terms of treatment. And that's something that Ms. Alvary will talk a lot more about shortly. In terms of Ms. Alvary, she would have briefly touched on pachymetry. So that's checking the corneal thickness of the eye. We do that as well at Dalton Brown. So, you know, it doesn't matter whether or not, like, you are in the hospital system or you are at a private ophthalmologist. We offer all of these services at Dalton Brown. And we are happy that, you know, we have patients walking from time to time, just coming in, just dropping by to test their pressures in the eye, just making sure that all is well, even if they are using their drops or if they have a family history.
Yes, certainly a very stimulating conversation here. And I would like to really encourage everyone listening to take charge of your health and don't delay. And like our experts here from Dalton Brown optometrists are saying, the earlier you detect something, the better is the outcome. And that's actually leading up to my next question, that we know glaucoma causes irreversible blindness, but how long, or if it isn't treated, can it develop to blindness? And then also, what are the treatment options available for glaucoma?
So as I had mentioned earlier, especially in our climate, region of the world, different things, when we see patients with glaucoma, it tends to progress very, very quickly without having prompt treatment, right? Now, I mean, as Mr. Luck had mentioned, there are different types of glaucoma. So if you have the primary open angle, you usually have a bit of a longer window for treatment, but the closed angle glaucoma, that usually requires immediate, so to speak, strong treatment, whether it be through surgery or laser procedures and whatnot. But with the primary open angle glaucoma, usually the first line treatment would be something like putting drops in the eyes ever so often. It's usually every night before bed, which would lead me into the types of treatment options that we have available, especially here in Trinidad and for the most part in the entire Caribbean. So as I said, the first line treatment would be those prescription drops. So the drops aim to just lower the pressures in the eyes, which in turn would reduce the amount of damage occurring to the optic nerve behind the eyes. And then if the drops are deemed to be insufficient by the ophthalmologist, then the next thing that they might consider would be laser procedures. So usually these lasers are a bit more invasive than the drops, obviously, but not as invasive as surgery, because they just aim to either improve the already existing drainage of fluid from the eyes or create a new pathway of drainage for the fluid to exit the front of the eye sufficiently, therefore reducing the eye pressures. Now, if the drops don't work and the lasers are insufficient as well, then the most invasive option would be some sort of surgery, whether it is creating an entirely new channel for the fluid at the front of the eye to drain. Sometimes they put little tubes, which also creates an alternative channel for the fluid to drain through the eyes. Of course, these procedures would require a little more healing time, a little more preparation and different things like that. But there are minimally invasive versions of the surgery as well, where you use microscopic equipment and very, very little incisions to try to reduce that recovery time afterwards. So it really just depends on how severe the glaucoma is, at what stage were we able to pick it up. And ultimately, you know, the optometrist and the ophthalmologist will have to work hand in hand to make that decision and try to decide what's best for the patients.
Great. Sounds like a great team approach to handling healthcare there between the optometrist and ophthalmologist. Now, something that comes to mind is that, you know, life gets busy. What if someone forgets or doesn't remember to put in their drops that day? What's the consequences, or what can that person do?
So basically, missing drops occasionally, like on one day, may not cause immediate damage, but regularly skipping medication would allow your eye pressures to rise and therefore affecting the optic nerve damage, right? So consistency with treatment is really important. And you know, if an ophthalmologist gives you eye drop, if you have been diagnosed with glaucoma, then please don't discontinue your drops because you know you are getting some redness in the eye or some burning sensation. If that's happening, then you know you can go back to the ophthalmologist, or you could simply come to the optometrist and maybe we can check the front surface of the eyes and see if there's any dryness or such. A lot of the time with glaucoma drops, patients can suffer from dry eyes, and as a result of that, they may have some redness or burning sensation in the eyes. Also, if you are having an allergic reaction, then you need to prompt your ophthalmologist. Don't just discontinue your drops, because that puts you at a greater risk of optic nerve damage, you know, so you want to stay consistent. Now, a quick thing for listeners, you know, if you have been diagnosed with glaucoma, or if you are in the public sector or private sector, and you are using eye drops and you go to visit your optometrist, please take the name of your drops in with you. And that way it's able to help us so that we can keep it on for record keeping sake, and we can know exactly what drops are you're using. And then when you take your eye pressure, if by any chance your eye pressure is still high, then you know we are able to indicate to you or write a referral letter back to your ophthalmologist to let them know that, you know, maybe these drops are not working as well as it needs to. Maybe you need to have a second dosage drop or things like that. So it's important to know, do not regularly skip your glaucoma medications. It's very, very important, because glaucoma snatches your sight gradually. You know, you don't want to stop using your drops. Skipping it maybe one night, I guess that might be kind of okay, but just make sure to be on board to use your eye drops regularly. Please, please use it as your ophthalmologist would have prescribed for you.
Yeah, that's certainly a heartfelt plea there by our optometrist, Ms. Tilak from Dalton Brown Optometrists. And you know, it's refreshing to know that you also face the same challenges we face, that patients come and say, "Doc, the blue pill, the red pill, the yellow one, the white one." And it's important, listeners, that you do carry your prescriptions or the names of your drops, your medications, to your healthcare providers. As we get closer to the top of the hour, I'd like to ask you guys, are there any lifestyle changes that persons can do to reduce their risk of developing glaucoma? And then a twofold part to this question, what advice would you give to individuals with already a family history of glaucoma? And we're talking prevention here to stop it from progressing or even beginning in the first place.
Yeah, so I mean, we might be sounding like a broken record at this point, but regular eye exams are so crucial to pick up that glaucoma as early on as possible, as well as to monitor, especially those patients that have that family history, right? Now, in terms of the lifestyle changes that you're asking about, of course, diet and exercise, so regular physical activity would help lower the intraocular pressure as well. Having a healthy diet, so rich in fruits, vegetables, getting as many minerals as possible, all those vitamins that the eyes love. Try to avoid smoking, because smoking has been proven to increase that risk of developing glaucoma. And manage your other health conditions. So especially people that have diabetes and high blood pressure, you know, you should really be taking your medications as prescribed, including that diet and exercise as well, and having those regular checkups and discussions with your physician to make sure that everything is as best under control as possible. Right? Now, the lifestyle changes alone can't prevent glaucoma, but they can definitely contribute to the overall eye health, as well as the general health as well. In terms of advice that I could give to people that especially have that family history of glaucoma, again, the regular eye exams, make sure that you're aware of what glaucoma is, how it affects the eyes, how it can be treated, and the different tests that you can do to pick it up. And of course, have that open communication with your optometrist. So inform them about the members of your family that have glaucoma, and ensure that you use the appropriate monitoring. So different tests that are available with your optometrist and the different preventative measures to make sure that you have the best chance at one, picking it up as early as possible, or if you're already diagnosed, preserving that vision that you have left.
Yeah. Well, any final comments, Ms. Tilak?
sure. So basically, key facts to remember about glaucoma, it's one of the leading most causes of blindness worldwide. Vision loss from glaucoma cannot be restored. Early detection is very important to prevent serious vision loss. And many people with glaucoma don't know they have it. So just as Ms. Aubrey would have mentioned, it's preventable when detected early. So protect your vision by scheduling regular eye examinations. And just know that, you know, your sight is very precious. Don't wait until symptoms appear. You know, visit us at Dalton Brown and we are happy to see you. We come, you book your eye examination and we'll do that comprehensive eye check on you, especially if you have a family history of glaucoma.
Well, folks, there you have it from our friends at Dalton Brown Optometrists. It certainly has been an eye-opening conversation for the past half hour and even before that, as we talked about blood pressure and eye glaucoma this afternoon. It's been my pleasure, as always, Dr. Vasan Basdeo here on the Lunchtime Doctor. Let's bring in health education so that we can prevent and maintain our health wherever we are. Have a blessed day, Trinidad and Tobago, and I will be with you next week, Wednesday. Take care.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.